BarkBox. Love these guys. You love your pooch? I love my pooch. I love my little Molly girl. Always bite off more than you can chew with BarkBox. It's a monthly box filled with 4 to 6 full-size products. Innovative, durable toys, leashes, treats, and more, all made in the USA. 100% natural elk, caribou, wild boar. Jeez, I'm getting hungry. Lean wild meats to keep your dog fit and healthy. 3 monthly plans tailored to your dog's size. BarkBox, committed to helping homeless dogs. 10% of the revenues go to shelters across the U.S. and Canada. Save 20% on your new subscription by visiting BarkBox.com/Adam. That's BarkBox.com/Adam. And let's not forget the pooch. Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for clicking through our Amazon link at adamanddrdrewshow.com. And, you know, subscribe via the PayPal button. $5 a month. I mean, hell, man. Therapy's expensive. This is free. It's good juju, man.
This just raises endorphins without therapy.
Mm-hmm. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I sound like shit still, and this has been going on forever. Well, Chris, yes. I know you're an audiophile, Chris. I'm sorry for disturbing your ears.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're nodding vigorously.
You do sound like shit.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, I do. I don't feel like shit, though. And I know you've been giving me endless grief about being a pussy for, you know, having a slow recovery from my surgery and being hammered down by what is that impulse with people to when somebody is feeling shitty, just pile on them?
Tell me.
Well, no, you
be
do
more
it.
Specific.
You telling me I'm a pussy when I feel like shit.
Hey, I cured you. What are you talking about? You used to have panic attacks until I cured you.
Well, please cure me of this recovery process. It's going to take forever.
And
by the way, I had a heavy thing this year. I had cancer surgery, by the way.
No, you
know what I'm saying?
No, you don't.
Well, fuck you. It was a big deal. It was a tough recovery. I hope the hell I don't.
No, what I'm saying is this. I obviously there's a line. I don't want to become the great Santini. Although great was right in his name. I'm around in my life way too much of other people going, oh, my God. Oh my God.
I know, but that for people that are actually legitimately ill. People don't know illness. They never see real illness.
I'm talking about not only in illness, but in interactions and relationships. Like, oh, my God, that person, what are they? Oh, they're so – I hear these stories. You know, I hear these stories all the time where it's like all I did – was go in and say hi, and he screamed, "You're stupid," and he stormed out of the room. And I'm like, I'm always like, maybe that's how it felt.
Yeah, something's
but
missing.
But he didn't just go in and say hi, and he screamed, "You're stupid."
Yeah. Or if he did, he needs to be hospitalized.
Right.
He's not connected to reality.
Yeah, he's stupid, he called me fat, and he stormed out of the room.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I just want to say to people, no, he didn't. And yeah. So I have a lot of people say, I'm not feeling well, and I'm always the person that says, take an aspirin and walk it off. And everyone else is saying, sit down.
Well, I actually have the opposite. I'm in denial when I'm feeling bad, and I keep pushing forward.
Mm.
And then I look back and go, shit, I wasn't right. And you know,
I don't know why. Maybe it's bad. Sure, someone in my family, one of my kids is going to have an eating disorder. But like we were talking about last show. Every 6 weeks, my wife wakes up and she goes, I don't feel good. I think I'm coming down with something. And I go, you're fine. You say that all the time.
It's not a category.
You're a healthy person. You're good.
Yeah.
You're strong.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's do it. Now,
rally.
What I don't want to do, which I don't believe helps anybody.
Do men have I'm coming down with something?
Sure.
Men have that. Okay. All
right. Everyone's a puss.
All right.
What I don't want is the person that goes, which I don't think you're doing the person a service, just like you wouldn't with your kid. When your kid, you know, when my 7-year-old gets up and goes, I'm not feeling it today with school. I think I got a little something, something. Listen, if you're a good parent, here's what you do. You kind of look them in the eye, maybe take their temperature, and you go, you're fine. Let's go. Get your backpack. Yeah. Let's go. If you, by the way, if noontime rolls around and you're still feeling like hell, by all means, go talk to the nurse.
Yeah.
We'll bring you home. But let's get going.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the message.
Yeah.
The message I don't want to send is, oh, my dear, sit down. You must be tired. Just get an ice pack. Sit down. And I'll call the school and tell them you're not coming in.
Yeah.
I just want that for them. Not so much for me, but really for them. I realize there's a lot of, you can kind of go one way or the other when people suggest things to you. And when you surround yourself with a bunch of people that are in, oh, my God, sit down mode versus you're fine, let's go mode, you'd be surprised what you can do.
I'm surrounding myself with people that just get abusive when I get sick.
Oh, please. Who gets you? Your wife doesn't do that.
You, everybody just gets abusive with me. And I don't, and I'm already in denial, so I just keep like running on that fucking wheel.
Yeah. Oh, please.
What are you laughing about?
I know.
You're smiling about something.
The only reason I'm abusive is every third time you come in here, you got something going on.
It's been a rough year, yeah.
All right.
I'm saying I've been sick. Okay. And you know what? Some of it, frankly, the reason for a while there, I had a window about a month ago where I started feeling really, really good.
Yeah, I miss it.
I know. But I realized that those biopsies I was getting was fucking me up too. Mm-hmm. I was getting prostate biopsies when I was 9 months or so. And then I would get prostatitis following it. I'd be on antibiotics for a month. And I'd feel like weak for like a month afterwards. It's
all right.
I
want to
stop talking about it. I want to stop talking
about
it. It's fucked up. My son is in the air right now going to Australia.
Australia?
For a semester abroad. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I know,
those
right?
Kids. What do you do? I mean, besides fucking get drunk.
I think that's his plan. Hopefully. Hopefully it's his plan.
What are you studying? Australia?
Well, Aboriginal culture and art.
Please.
You and I were laughing about it last night. I took him to the airport. But this kid is super smart. He's a math major. I mean, he talks about stuff I can't understand. He talks about other universes and planes and, you know, really very theoretical. He's now contemplating becoming a theoretical physicist. Like, okay. Yeah, crazy stuff.
La-di-da.
Yeah.
Well, what they don't have math out here?
They do. Well, he's at a college that where the math kicked, and they're really intense, like Caltech type math.
So what does he need to go to Australia for?
So he can take a break. He was reading about what his program was going to be. He's like, oh my God, this is a vacation.
So he's not studying abroad.
Yeah, he's taking a vacation.
He's
abroad.
Pounding broads.
Hopefully,
right? Yeah, and look, good. It's good. Look, get it out
it's
of your
good
system.
Juju. Is that good juju?
Good for him.
Good juju.
Man, I couldn't imagine going to Australia.
I know you're 22 or whatever.
I couldn't. 20. I didn't even know where it was.
Set the.
I didn't know where Boston was. I couldn't imagine going on an airplane. Like it was, everything was so bizarre and foreign.
At 22, where were you? Set the scene. 21, 22.
Are we talking about Jordan?
No, you. Where were you?
No, I know, but are we talking about Jordan here?
Yeah, yeah.
Is he 21, 22? Was he 22?
They're 21.
21. 21, I had graduated North Hollywood High by the skin of my teeth.
Did you ever get your diploma?
No.
Okay. So graduation in quotes.
Well, I went back and got it for a reality show 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Or
because you had to return a library book or something?
They just gave it. It just became a joke and they just went and found it for me. So, like, yeah, I did go get it later on after I became a celebrity.
What reality show, just to flesh it out?
Oh, it was doing my home improvement show.
Okay.
Went to go visit the old high school
and
get my diploma. Graduated high school, so I turned 18 at the end of May in 1982. Not the end of May, but the end of the school year. So I was end of May, and school graduated beginning of June,
yeah,
pretty much. And I had to pass my Spanish final, and then I graduated. I was living in my garage at my dad's house in North Hollywood. At some point, I got into cycling really heavily, riding my 10-speed everywhere, everywhere.
I don't know this piece.
Yeah, I don't really talk about it that much. Well, there's not that much to talk about. I just got into it.
Of course, you out on the mean streets of Hollywood, no doubt, arm pads, helmet, chin guard.
I didn't have water. No helmet, no water, no money.
No pants, probably. You're like wearing shorts.
Yeah, I'd ride to the county line and back. I'd ride going 100-mile bike rides.
Yeah.
And I was trying to play football at the junior college, but it just clearly was not working out. It just wasn't going to work. And I kind of figured that out somewhere around 18 and a half or something. And I just went, all right, well, that, you know, turn the page. And there'll be no more football. Unfortunately for me, having football is about all I had.
I say, turning the page, you turn it, it's like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Blank. There's a carpet cleaning wand and a shovel. So now, said it before, but people don't realize, 1982, 1983, economically, this country, you could literally, I remember going into the bank. And, you know, we'd have to walk the check in and cash it. I saw signs that said 3-year T-bills, 19%.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the economy was horrific. I couldn't find a job. I had little nibbles. You know, I was walking into supermarkets, applying for jobs as, you know, box boy and that stocker and stuff like that. Couldn't get a job. Had a real close, I remember once, like, you could imagine this. Guy had a big construction outfit. Was doing a bunch of apartment buildings and like Sunland and, you know, the Valley. And a friend of mine, friend of a friend said, you know, this guy, you can meet with him. Went to like some Mexican restaurant, you know, sat down. My thing was, I was strong as a fucking ox. I was just strong. And my attitude was work until you drop. And I had no self-esteem. I was super strong, and I'd do anything for $6 or $7 an hour, and I'd never stop doing it.
Yeah.
And like sat down, had some nachos with this dude, talked to him for a while.
Was he a contractor?
Yeah, he was like a contractor at a crew. And then at the end, like, well, he wasn't hiring.
Oh.
Like, he was not hiring.
Did you buy him lunch?
No, I didn't buy him
lunch.
Why
did he spend the time?
I don't know why. You know, I think this guy sort of, this friend of ours sort of talked him into, you know, sitting down with me. This was a big connection. My friend Willie Maldonado knew a guy who, you know, did irrigation work on whatever, landscaping, whatever. It was just all, everything was just some desperate. You know, I could remember bringing home pamphlets that says, you know, be an ambulance driver, you know, work with the elderly, you know, just pamphlets on trade schools and things that seem kind of distant and cost some money. And
yeah.
I didn't know what to do with it. It's not that I didn't want to drive. You know, I went and put an application in at the North Hollywood Fire Department. The guy told me it's going to be years. So I didn't, you know, I'd hear stories of people going abroad to do work. You know, like construction crews and stuff like that. And
yeah.
I was, whatever it was like, count me in. One of my big leads was my mom knew a guy named Bill who's my mom just sort of collected sort of broken people. But this guy, Bill, you couldn't tell by looking at him. He worked for the IRS. But at some point, for a brief period in his life, he was a merchant marine. And he said, you know, I think I know a guy. Maybe I can make a phone call, kind of a thing, you know. And to me, that was, oh, there's a union and there's, you know, I mean, he was explaining, oh, you start at $13 an hour and you move your way up to $19 an hour. And you know, you're away and they feed you, you know. So you get to save the money. You know, that kind of shit, you know? And I was like, oh, my God, yes, yes, oh, yes, for sure. So that fell through. The construction thing fell through. I was carpet cleaning. I was living in the garage. At a certain point, I got the call from my buddy John that said, you want to pull ivy off the side of a house in Silver Lake? I took that job. I just jumped on it. It was a day-to-day kind of here's $50 at the end of the day kind of thing. But come back the next day. And my whole thing was like, I'm going to impress these guys so much every day that at the end of the day, each day, they'll go, yeah, come back the next day. We'll find more.
Did that happen?
Yeah. Yeah, I was, you know, spoke English, super hardworking, strong, would do anything, never complained, never went, oh, that's a little dirty
this
or dangerous or anything.
Or 1920?
1920, and then... Now I buy myself a piece of shit, pickup truck, move out of the apartment, move out of the house, get an apartment with three dudes, and just living in North Hollywood. And at 21, I am now full-blown construction. I'm probably about 2 years in. I'm not very skilled because you're not very skilled 2 years in. But I know my way around a skill saw, pardon the pun. I have tool bags and a piece of shit pickup truck. And I'm basically working with a small construction firm, probably making $9-$10 an hour at this point during the day. And by the weekends, doing odd jobs.
What was the minimum wage then? Like... $5, five and a quarter.
Minimum wage could have been $4.50, $5. Yeah. I was probably getting $9. Yeah. I was, you know, getting not twice as much as minimum wage, but 1.5 times or whatever it was. And plus. And, you know, my rent, the rent was like $4.75, but we had like three dudes living in the apartment. You know, I didn't have insurance. I didn't have credit cards. I couldn't make payments on anything. I had no credit.
Was that Ralph?
No, I lived with Ralph much, much later on. This like Chris and Donnie and Umgad. There was like a revolving crews of people coming through, flopping out. Chris's dad stayed with us for
Chris's
a month.
Dad?
Well, before he went to prison.
Oh.
He had one of those prison things where it's like, yeah, we need you to report.
And remind ourselves that in the 70s, he was the dude. He was living the life.
Oh, yeah.
He was the quintessential 70s man, which, again, if you want to point at what's so shitty about the 70s.
Yeah. Guys.
Sociopaths rule.
Yeah, we're in the mid-80s now, and, you know, I'm just flopping around, and I'm just kind of working construction with guys I don't want to work with, and it's nomadic. It's like one job starts to finish up and then somebody's like, there's a burnt out building on Wilshire that we're going to get in there and gut. And then we're going to do a bunch of, and you go, all right. Yeah. And you're down on Wilshire. And then there's a, you know, or we got to do some earthquake in South Central or something. You're just over there. We're doing a decorative box factory in Gardena. Okay. We'll be there for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, they're doing a remod in Simi Valley. Okay, we'll be there for 6 weeks. Like, you just kind of hoping that the next job was lined up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because never got paid for Christmas, never got paid for a holiday.
No, just your labor.
No sick days, no insurance of any kind. And look, if you were playing some pickup hoops on a Sunday at the park and you rolled your ankle real bad and that thing was all swole up.
Well, you fucked your knee up in the middle of all that, didn't you?
I fucked my knee up in the middle of it. I fucked my ankle up in the middle of it. And if you couldn't make it into work the next day, then by the way, if you weren't coming into work on a Monday, you didn't have to call anybody. They didn't need to hear whatever reason you weren't coming in because they weren't going to pay you.
Right.
So you just didn't come in. And I don't even know if there was a number to call. Most of the jobs had a phone somewhere in there that you could never touch. But maybe you had that phone number. Maybe you'd get hold of somebody at the office or something. And the chick would call the job or something. But for the most part, you just don't show up. And then you'd show up. And then when you got your paycheck, it would be for 32 hours and not 40 hours. But we'd work like 50-hour weeks. There's never any overtime. Never. We'd work 50, 60, 65, 70-hour weeks sometimes. Never any OT. Never any golden time. Never any anything. Never any extra compensation, hazard duty, or meal penalties. Right? You bought your own lunch, or you brought your own lunch.
Or you grew a cactus.
You got a half an hour. And you slept in a place with no air, and that was about it. You know, just walking down the supermarket, getting the top ramen, walking home. And drove a piece of shit pickup truck, and not getting laid. And sort of.
Are we at 21 yet?
Yeah, we're 21.
Okay.
I just said.
So Australia wasn't in the mix for you. Theoretical physics, not so much.
Would have been impossible to purchase an airline ticket. I mean, I would have had to get cash and go to the airport and buy a ticket, I guess. I don't know. There was no modality for me to do anything because I didn't have a credit card. Nobody I knew had a credit card, and my parents didn't have a credit card. Or if they did, they kept it in a mason jar buried in the backyard. I don't think my dad had a credit card.
Do you think your experience was representative of middle class at the time?
I didn't, you know.
The question I ask is, are we better off now?
Oh, yeah. Because
we keep hearing about the shrinking middle class, the separation with the 1% is so horrible. Has everybody moved up and it's just a bigger separation also?
I will tell you why we're better off. You got to find Joe Biden. He made a speech a few weeks ago. They're asking him about possibly running for president against Hillary Clinton or something. I don't know what he said, but he said he was going to help the middle class from being held down, held back.
Yeah.
By the way. Do we ever really stop and think when you say being held back or held down or oppressed, who actually is applying the pressure? Who? And does it behoove anybody? You know what I mean? Oh, the boss man wants to keep the middle class down. Like, no, he doesn't. He doesn't want to get robbed by anybody. He doesn't want poor people. He wants people doing,
to thrive. Yeah.
Thriving. Everybody wants that.
That's the part that I used to bug me when people would say that, you know, some politician is a warmonger. They want nuclear war.
Right.
No one ever wanted nuclear war. It was different tactics to try to prevent nuclear war. Just like what's right, what's the right economic move to improve things?
Yeah. Here's why people have it a lot better today, I believe. Simply, technology. Poor people. And believe you me, I've been doing this contractor show, and I'm going through a few poor people's houses. I go into a poor person's house. They got a 42-inch flat-screen TV in high def. They got a Blu-ray player. It's $89.
Yeah.
They got 55 discs under there, so they can watch Dr. Zhivago. Not that that's on their top playlist. They can watch that. They have a cell phone. They have just take cars. You know, I was driving around pieces of shit. I was bump starting them all the time, pushing them.
Oh, you know what a bump start is.
You fucking get alongside that truck. You push. You jump
roll
in.
It. Yeah.
You put it in second gear and pop the clutch. Get it started. They're driving around. Maybe you're driving around a Honda Civic that's 11 years old, but you got air conditioning blowing through it. It's got an airbag in it. Allergic to logic, man.
I am, man. It upsets me.
So while I was sitting in my truck with the vinyl bench seat in the San Fernando Valley sweltering, you're poor now, but you're driving a Honda Civic and there's air conditioning. When I would go back to my, just sort of appliances and technology.
Also clothing, I think.
You can go to Old Navy and load up on cargo shorts and whatever you got to get. Back then, it was like a real pair of topsider shoes was $85, and there's no fucking way.
But in those dollars, that was like $300 now.
If you go back and look at old ads from like just the newspaper, like it used to be when you'd open the newspaper, you'd go sports page or whatever, you go to the electronic section. Yeah. There'd be a whole thing in the electronic section. Oh, phonographs and TV.
Yeah.
I remember looking at one from like 1975, Sony, Trinitron, color TV, 13-inch, $375.
Yeah.
That's 1974.
That's $1,000 today, easily. Maybe more.
Well, let's put it this way. The house in the valley that newspaper showed up on the doorstep of in 1974 was $61,000.
Yeah.
That house now is $872,000.
Right.
So is it three times?
Right.
I mean,
or 10 times.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a big deal. Now you can get a flat screen at Best Buy or wherever, 42-inch flat screen, or for the same price, which is $399, except for the equivalent. I mean, in 1974, gas was
60 cents.
60 cents a gallon. Yeah. Right, right. So it's not three times, because gas ain't $1.80 today, yeah, and yeah. That house that was $61,000 is not $183.
Yeah.
Put that in your son's pipe and smoke it. Did some quick math on that. No, it's $1 million.
Yeah.
Okay. So shit was more expensive. Technology was more. I mean, there was the stuff that didn't exist, like phones, but then there was stuff that did. So now I feel like you can have your little apartment and you can have your little surround sound system.
Yeah.
It's not built in. It's a little Bose system with the mini speakers. You can have your 42-inch plasma TV. You can put in your Blu-ray of the Pirates of the Caribbean, and you can sit around and watch your movie. What about food? When I was making $5-6 an hour, Taco Bell was a fucking burrito was about the same price as it is now. I mean, there's just higher quality, better stuff available. When you go to the supermarket, I had to just pretty much go to the generic thing, get the top ramen and all that kind of stuff. This is better. You can go out to eat now you can go to, you know, El Pollo Loco or whatever and get a nice meal for $6.
That's amazing when you think about that.
Yeah, back then it was $6.
Yeah, I don't think sure you could get that for $6.
But everything's open, everything's there, everything's around. You have access to things. I mean, I don't know. What if you needed some glasses? What if you needed a credit card? Like, what if you need anything? I feel like there's just ways to get everything.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't know anything. Nobody had a credit card. Nobody had insurance. Nobody had a doctor. Nobody knew anybody who knew anybody. There was nothing. There's no. And
there was more stagnation back then. Really,
we just floated.
There really was stagnation. That's how I remember that era. It was stagnant.
Yeah, we just – all we did –
In fact, the term stagflation, remember that?
Yeah.
Stagflation. It was inflation and stagnation. Ooh.
All we did was get along, and the whole point is just get along.
Survive.
And whatever tomorrow brings, we'll deal with that when we deal with that. There was certainly nothing down the road.
I got something that's an improvement. Mm. Audiobooks.com, baby.
Oh, love these guys.
Yes. Sign up today. Get any audiobook free. You listen instantly anywhere. Download the audiobook.com app to your Apple or Android device. Stream books on audiobooks.com using your computer or tablet. It's ridiculous. 50,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers, new releases, classics. And, of course, we're going to put yours up there. We'll find a way to get your new book.
Oh, yeah. President me, man. Pre-order.
And with memberships, the benefits. Audiobook, one audiobook per month, plus 33% off each additional title you listen to. And you can preview as many books as you like, even before you sign up. So sign up at audiobooks.com/Drew, D-R-E-W, audiobooks.com/Drew. Get your first book free. First one's free. And that is, again, audiobooks.com/Drew to get your first book free. Audiobooks.com.
All right. Well, there's a food addiction up there. Somebody wants to know how to handle some depression. Okay. Want some advice? We got thoughts on that. We'll talk to Eric from Philly right after this. Allison
Rosen. Hey, everyone. It's me, Allison, from Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. On Monday, I sat down with David Wilde, and he dropped over 45 names. I'm not kidding. And also, we had a heartfelt talk about all sorts of stuff, and he shared some details about his family that he's never talked about before publicly. And then on Thursday, I was joined by Matt, Chris, Gary, and Jenna, and we learned all about Matt's trip to Color Me Mine, and I made everyone help me figure out what wedding cake flavor to get, because I can't figure it out! Sorry for yelling. Subscribe to Allison Rosen as Your New Best Friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you. Allison's your new best friend.
All right. How are you doing with that Biden clip?
Hey, you mentioned behavioral addiction before the break.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a guest star, much in the way guest stars used to climb onto the Love Boat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a guest star in the Jim Jeffries show Legit next week.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, really had a good time filming that. What a good guy.
Hold on a second. I'm going to answer Gary, and then I'm going to talk to that because Jim was on the show, and we love that guy.
Yeah.
He was interviewed. It was a week ago.
Biden.
Sorry, Biden.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, you said speech.
I'm sorry. I said speech. I have no idea. He did an interview. Somebody wanted to know. This is where I screwed up. He did a speech, but someone wanted to know if he wanted to run for, if he's going to run for president or not. He gave some bullshit answer. But
so was that in like the Q&A after the speech or a subsequent?
No. Forget the word speech. Okay. I screwed up by saying speech. He gave an interview, I believe. And that interview is about a week old or so, or at least I think I heard Dennis Prager play it about a week ago where he was asked. I don't know if it could have been Meet the Press or one of those Sunday morning news shows. And somebody asked him about running and he was evasive about it because I think, you know, Hillary Clinton and whatever. But he wants to help the middle class being held down.
Shocking.
He wants to give him a fighting chance.
Anyway, so Jeffrey's Jim casted us on an episode where he's a sex addict, shockingly.
Yes, and you're on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that. He's a great guy and a true talent.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he loves you and puts you on the show.
That was nice.
All right.
Some of my friends do put me on their projects. Some of them do.
Well, right.
They seek me out.
He doesn't know you can't. Eric, 21, Philadelphia.
Judge for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Judge for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
I saw that Olsen Twins movie. Eric.
Hi.
That was before I took acting lessons.
What's going on? Have you ever taken an acting lesson?
No.
Couldn't hurt.
Oh, I years ago I did, but not recently. No.
When you're doing like Man of La Mancha in the 10th grade?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Right.
Eric.
Hi, Adam.
What's going on, man?
I don't know if you probably don't remember, but I called about a month ago about OCD and depression, and you helped me out by telling me when I have OCD thoughts to do push-ups. And,
did that help?
It actually has helped. It has helped out quite a bit. And so I just wanted to call in to follow up to maybe hopefully get some advice on my depression now.
He's depressed about doing all those push-ups.
How long have you been depressed?
I graduated high school about 2.5 years ago, and since I graduated high school, things have been kind of going downhill. But the past, like, say, 6 or so months have been a really, really, like, low-lying, bad depression.
What are the symptoms?
Hold on a second.
All right.
Let me say this.
More push-ups?
No.
Right.
You tell me if there's a greater chasm in a time in a person, a human being's life, than male age 21.
And a greater, not just a chasm. That suggests a gap. I'm saying a canyon. You're in the bottom of the canyon, the nadir.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying. Your son is on his way to go on a fuck crawl through Perth. As we speak. And I've known dudes, 21. Oh, I was going to this school. I was in this frat, fucking tailgating. Awesome. Hot girlfriend, girlfriends.
Yeah.
Tons of dudes. Greatest time of my life.
Yeah.
And then there was me.
Yeah.
And my friends. Now, the reason I make it gender specific is I know plenty of chicks that were 21 and they were hot.
And we're very happy.
Why wouldn't you be? You have 27-year-old dudes asking out on dates.
Yep.
And they're paying for the meals.
Yeah.
And you're having a good time.
Yep.
And you're having sex and you're having fun and you're getting paid a lot of attention to. And yeah, so what if your career isn't really on track or your education really isn't on track? First off, you'll probably marry a producer anyway. And number two, who cares for now? You're having a good time. Just explaining what your son's up to at 21 and what I was up to at 21. If you're not involved in something, and this is why the military why me and every one of my friends should have literally just enlisted immediately after. I mean, there should have been a recruiter just standing outside of the high school we walked out.
Yeah.
If you're not involved with something, or your dad doesn't own some sort of business where he gets you involved with it or whatever it is, and you're just fucking floating.
You're drifting,
It is – it's depressing.
Yes.
And it's scary.
Yeah.
And it's a feeling of insecurity. It's that – you know what the feeling is? It's the feeling of leaving your house – by today's standards, with no wallet, no cell phone, and just sort of walking around and going, I hope I don't get too hungry, or I hope something doesn't happen where I need to call somebody or I need some money for something. Like, I'm adrift, and I'm just going to walk around, and I'll try to stay out of trouble, try to make it work.
Can't really talk to anybody.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can get some food, but I don't have any money. Like, it just I don't have anything. So how are we going to make this work?
Except the exception, though, is there are some males that fuck it up for the rest of them, like Chris and guys like that, who are in their glory at that age.
Yeah. Well, now, if you're balls deep in every 19-year-old who blows into town, then – but that's essentially like saying, well, I took a lot of drugs, so it's like the pain was sort of
– No, but there is a 2% of males that they're fine.
Yeah, they're fine, but even some of my buddies that were getting laid a lot still had to go back to a crappy apartment and drive a crappy truck.
They still
whatever.
Knew deep down there was something not right yet.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's that huge chasm between the 21-year-old males.
Yeah.
Again, 21-year-old female, attractive female who's in school versus attractive female who's just working, doing hostessing at night, I would argue that the one that's not in school is having a better time.
Yeah.
Not in the male department.
Yeah.
All right. So now Eric is...
is this the backdrop for his depression is all that? Now,
right.
What are the symptoms of your depression now?
Severe loneliness, very tired all the time. Kind of like a scared type feeling.
Anxiety all the time.
Yeah.
Are you on medication?
I've been on like 6 medications the past year and a half or so.
Anything help?
I've taken Luvox,
Anything?
And that helps a little bit.
Okay, but nothing really helps. So you need Uncle Corolla's get off your ass talk, right? Isn't that what he needs?
You need a muse. You need something you're into. You need something that's exciting. You need something that floats your boat.
Engaged.
But not something that feels good.
No, not necessarily. It could be feel bad.
Right.
But it has to be engaging.
Right, right. You have to get... look, it could be volunteering. It could... whatever it is, you need to become... You know what you need to be... You know what young males need? They need to be a part of something that's bigger than them.
Yeah.
And you need to have a home, and you have to feel that camaraderie.
Yeah.
And honestly, even if it means, let's just say, for example, you're into cars. You're just into hot rods, and you're into cars, and you're into, you love it. You like the mechanics. You like the whatever. Okay. So let's say that's what you're into.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know anything about cars. You don't know anything about hot rods. And no one's going to hire you.
Right.
You don't do anything.
Right.
Find the hot rod shop that's on the corner, whatever. And go in there and go, I'm going to sweep. How about I sweep? Can I sweep this place? I'll do it for free. I'll come in 2 hours. Tell you what, I'll come in 2 hours every day into this place, and I will sweep and I will clean. And all I ask is that you let me observe what you're doing. Let me tell you something. Within 6 weeks... somebody over there is going to go, look, let me show you how to do some welding.
Yeah.
Just let me show you.
Yeah.
Let me show you. All right. And then you're going to start getting a little bit. And then they're going to go with something, not Tim Allen's car, and not something that's showing on the bodywork, but something underneath. They're going to go, you know what? I think you can handle this. You weld this thing. Let me see how you do. Go ahead. Because it behooves them. That's how it works. That's how everyone gets to do everything. So find that shop, whatever it is. It's probably going to be a cannabis place.
Well, whatever.
But find that shop.
It's a metaphor.
And literally walk in and go, I want to sweep. I'll sweep for free. I won't do it 10 hours a day. I'll show up 2 hours a day and I'll sweep. Can I sweep? Eventually, if you're good at sweeping,
yeah,
your attitude's good, You'll weave your way
into
that. It
feels like he needs a social environment, too. So maybe a coffee shop or something where people meet that you just kind of get yourself in there. Get going. Get you got to get moving. You got to make that first. You got to put that one foot in front of the other because right now there's so much inertia against you. And as you see, the medicines aren't working, and you opened your depression with a description of loneliness, which is part of depression, but loneliness can also cause depression. So you need to get out and be with people. You've got to get out. You've got to force yourself out, which is the hard part.
Yep. All right. We got this clip of Biden, I guess a reporter, asking, is Dr. Biden?
That's the wife?
Yeah. I originally thought that was the wife, but I'm not positive. I'm still researching that.
All right.
We'll watch and I'll get you an answer.
All right.
Is Dr. Biden on board?
When I ran the first time, Jill didn't want to run again.
Why?
Second time, she came to me and said, you've got to run. The reason she wanted me to run, because she was convinced if I ran, we'd end the war in Iraq and have a sounder foreign policy. And she was convinced that if I ran, I would work like hell to make sure the middle class got a fighting chance. For me, the decision
that
to
was
run
a lie.
Or not
blinking
run is going to be determined by me as the leader.
Yeah.
I am the best qualified person to focus on the two things I've spent my whole life on. Given ordinary people a fighting chance to make it and a sound foreign policy that's based on rational interest of the United States. Where we
you guys have been in power for 5 years. What's you can turn it off, but what's
holding you back?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Hey, down the hall is the guy who runs the free world. Does he hate the middle class folks? Doesn't want to give him a fighting chance? Or is he down with this? I hate chicken shit, cop out, fucking bullshit, just isms that are fucking farts in the wind. You want to give middle class people a fighting chance.
I know, but unfortunately people buy that.
First off, Your Highness, you can't give middle class people a fighting chance. What are you, a fucking warlock? How grandiose do you have to be? I will go up to the mountain. I will fucking harness the thunder and the lightning. I will bring it down from the mountain. And then I will make the decree that from this day all, what the fuck are you? You're an old man with hair plugs. You can't do shit. And if you could, why didn't you? You're fucking 72 years old. When are you going to get on it? After you die? How old is fucking Biden? You've been a champion for the middle class. You've been giving the middle class. You want to get in the position of power. You're the fucking vice president of the United States. Let's say...
And he's been in Senate for a long time.
That's juice. You've been in Senate for a long time. You're 71 years old. Well, how's the middle class doing under your fucking reign? You'd have done shit for the middle class, you fucking hypocrite liar. You want to be seen as a champion for the middle class, and then you're going to go back to one of your fucking mansions in your armor-plated limousine. That's what you're going to do. Your life's work has been to help the middle class. Nice job, douchebag.
Hey, he did his best.
How's your job? How's it been going? Hey, man, my life's work has been working with the Detroit Lions and taking them to a Super Bowl. That's my life's work. Well, obviously, I'm a colossal fuck-up. I don't know anything about football. I mean, hey, grandiose liar, what are you saying? This is what you do? If it's what you do, then why aren't you doing it? How come it's not been done? Or who's undoing it? You do all this great work and then someone undoes it for the middle class? This notion that you get to be in this position of power for decades and still sit around and go, I'm fighting for the middle class. Since when? You didn't just take office on Tuesday. You've been in a position of power for decades. What's happened to the middle class? Fighting for the fucking working man. Shut the fuck up. What does fighting for the working man even mean? Who's fighting? What's your plan? And again, you're fighting for the working man or there's no child left behind. Should we take a look at the test scores? Maybe you're super shitty at what you do. I'll give you a choice, Biden. Either you're horrifically bad at what you do because you've been at it for 40 years and nothing's happened.
It's gotten worse.
It's gotten worse. Now, second term is vice president of the United States and it's gotten worse. So I'll give you two choices. A, you're fucking horrible at what you do. Or B, you're a liar. who loves little sound bites about fighting for the middle class and the working man. I don't even know what the fuck that means. First off, I'm a working man. I work a lot. I work every weekend. What are you doing for me? I do better. That's better for the employees I have. But forget about me. What are you doing for the people I employ? What are you doing for the business down the street or across the street? What exactly are you doing, Biden? And then feel free to explain to us, other than you believe no child should be left behind. Right. Me too. Now, what the fuck are you doing? Nothing. Or whatever you're doing is wildly ineffective. Right?
One or the other.
Well, it's one or the other. I suspect it's more just grandiose liar. And, of course, if you become the president of the United States, then what?
Then he'll take care of it.
When you fucking snap into action?
Yeah. Let's talk to Wilmer.
Why do people believe that?
Line 4. Because it sounds good.
And what are the people interview him? How come they never go, what does that mean?
Well, that's they probably are so burned out from hearing political bullshit and know that even if they ask them, they're just going to get more platitudes.
That's right. Yeah. Once they give him a fighting chance. All right, it's 2014. Wilmer.
Base man, Dr. Drew, get it on.
24, gotta Brooklyn. Do you have a job?
Yes, sir.
So you work?
Yes.
You're a working man?
You're male?
Yes.
All right. Biden is fighting for you. He wants to give you a chance. A fighting chance.
Fighting.
I don't know if you knew this. You don't have a fighting. You do not have a chance. But when Lord Biden comes down from the mountaintop, he will. It's the most grandiose. Think about how grandiose that sounds.
But think about how the assistant governor or lieutenant governor responded to your questions. You know, it's more evasive nonsense. I mean, they just, why ask? You're not going to get anything satisfying.
Sound like Springsteen lyrics.
Yeah, he wasn't asked. He infused that and grafted that onto the conversation.
Yeah,
he wants to fight for the working man. All right, anyway, Biden's fighting for you. So from about this time next week, look at you as owning the building you're working in.
Yeah, sure. I'm not holding my breath,
okay.
Mr. Biden.
These guys are fighting for us. Anyway.
Well, quick thing before I get to my question. Dr. Drew is possibly the greatest transitionist to advertising.
He really is.
I'm working on it.
It's like a great...
It's great.
Did you say ad?
No, I was going to say, he's a great jazz guitar player.
Right.
Just go right into
the
next song.
He mentioned ad, and I'm saying that immediately makes me think of stamps.com.
It really does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, Drew, you're so good. It's like I can almost see the copy. I just close my eyes, and it's in front of my... It's in front of me.
Stamps.com,
man. You save a ton on postage. We talk about this all the time. You drive a car. The car's got airbags. It's safe. It works. You don't have to warm it up. Remember warming up your car in the morning?
Right. Technology has moved on.
You have a cell phone, right?
Yeah.
That's right. You have a computer at home.
Yes.
You don't go to the library to use it. Now, stamps.com. More technology moving forward. Enter the promo code ADS for a no-risk trial. $110 bonus offer includes a digital scale, $55, free postage. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in ADS. That is stamps.com, promo code ADS.
And all that stagnation we were talking about, it's hard to have the kind of stagnation when there's stuff at your fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even if you were stagflating in the 70s, you could have... found efficiencies, found things to do on the internet.
Not
go to the post office and spend your hard-earned money on your scooter to get to the post office. You just go to stamps.com.
Downgrade me to a scooter. All right, Wilmer.
Well, yeah, pretty much I wanted to know why when someone of a higher intelligence offers an opinion on something, a person's first reaction is offended versus hearing them out and, waiting on it a little bit. See, maybe this is good or maybe this is bad and this is why.
It's a horrible impulse that people have because how else do you expand your fund of knowledge and your understanding of the world except by changing your mind?
Can I listen to
people who know more?
Yes, I agree with Drew. And let me explain what it is. It's not an impulse. Sorry for not doing the groundlings move with you. you're not incorrect. But it's just something we're born with. Everyone is born with. When I say...
I must not have had that gene.
No. Small children, when you say, you know, when I would say to my kids, let me show you how to do this correctly. I know how to do this is the answer that that's what a child says.
Yes.
I'm the best at doing, you know, and you go, all right, I got a better way. You know, they go, I know I'm the best. I'm the best chess player. I'm the best this. I'm the best that. Well, I'm the best. I'm the best. I don't need, no. And so as you start coming toward them, you start encroaching upon them, they start pushing you back, warding you off. It's a weird impulse. It's an adolescent, childish impulse.
Yeah.
We have many of these things. We're born a mess. We're not born to be a society. We're born to be an individual.
Animals.
Yeah. Try to explain, hey, imagine taking your child and taking their piggy bank and breaking their piggy bank open and going, well, let me see here. Looks like you have about $20 worth of change. And then you started collecting money, start taking about $7, $8 of that money. What are you doing with that? Oh, that's for other people. What do you mean? Oh, that's for the schoolyard and that's for the roads mommy and daddy drives on it. What would they do? They fucking pitch a fucking fit, right? Yeah. Now, there are other kids that don't have piggy banks and they don't have money and they don't save their money. And so we have to put some, give me those quarters. Give me those quarters. Put that aside for them. There's other kids, they don't have insurance. They don't have a home. They don't work. Some don't want to work. Some do work, but don't pay. Some anyway. Give me some of that. Well, your fucking kid would pitch a fucking fit, right?
Yeah.
By the way, he'd do a mouth of babes thing, which is I save that money myself. Why isn't that? That's my money. Why should I give it to the person that doesn't feel like working? Which would be I'm with you on that one, kid. But fire department, police department, give me a few more quarters and dimes. All right. That's what we become as adults. We understand that. We don't start off that way.
Right.
And all kids, I used to be this way. I think almost every kid is you come in, you go, let me show you how I can do, I know how to do this.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, then you
befriend Chris and Ray. And they break you down.
Because we have stopped turning children into adults. We now have a bunch of adults
who are
walking around who are essentially as they were born. It's as you're born. This, you get broken. Theoretically, this is broken. Yeah. This is broken. You get broken of this habit. But if no one's going to break you of this habit, and we're going to create a society around you that goes, well, that's the way they do it, so leave them alone, then that's what you shall have. I have this conversation all the fucking time. I get pushback from people all the fucking time. And all I do is go, look around. You don't think I'm right most of the time? You don't think I know what I'm doing? We're not even. I'm not even with you. Not by a fucking country mile. And by the way, that's an insult to me that you even think you're even with me. Why? Because of what I've done. But listen, I don't think I'm even with the Dyson guy.
Right.
That guy's an impressive guy.
Yeah.
Does things with vacuums you could only...
Are we even?
you and I are even.
Different scales. We're on different scales.
But the point is...
I'm not even with you on a lot of stuff, by the way. A lot of stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah, finally found some common ground. The point is I don't... You're not even with me, and I'm not even with a lot of people that are doing... Look, are you even with Seth MacFarlane? Creatively, no. The guy's a fucking dynamo. Thus, I don't sit around and tell him his business or tell him, listen, Seth, back off, buddy.
No, Seth, how do you do this? How does that work? What do you do? Where do you...
That's right. I go to his house. I show him my animated thing, and I go, tell me what you think, and give me your notes, and let me glean this information.
Be harsh. Be tough.
Right. Instead of, well, that's your opinion. You don't know me. You're not the boss of me.
Yeah, again. By the way, as a physician, that stuff hits hard because everyone's going to tell you what's right. The people who've never studied biology, ever.
Right.
That drives me out of my mind.
Yes. So, everybody, shut up and listen to the guy with the warehouse. Line one, David.
Hey, how you guys doing? Love the show. What a powerful show today, by the way.
Thank you.
He's a powerful, powerful man.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm having gastric bypass in 2 weeks, and I realized a couple years ago, maybe 2.5, that I have a food addiction, and yeah. I'm really addicted to food. I just love it. And so I've, for the past 2 years, I tried different weight solutions, jumping rope, skipping, all that, and now here I am 2 weeks, and I'm worried that after the surgery, I'm going to fall back into the food addiction. And so just wondering maybe you have some pointers or tips.
I'll just say a couple things. I mean, the surgery is specifically designed to prevent you from doing that, though people do things that they learn to eat around the surgery and whatnot. So you need a behavioral program of some type. You need some supportive, sort of like a coach considered, somebody who's there with you. Now, you can either get that with a therapist or you can get that with something like OA, a 12-step program, get a sponsor and work with people on this. The other thing, there are medication helps with that too. Topamax and low dose can be somewhat helpful. And so, you know, you need to do more than just the surgery, hopefully, in my opinion.
Also, you know, you can really enjoy these days. You can really enjoy healthy food. Back in the day, it all tasted like shit. Today, honestly, like, you know, you get the white meat chicken stir fry with the broccoli and put a little over some of the brown rice with the garlic sauce. It's fucking good. It's not. Right. It's not like you're, you know, eating a rice cake, you know, with a little peanut butter that's unsalted and you know, not baked or not roasted. You know, it's like you can. There's a lot of good stuff. I mean, there's a way to almost be a foodie and be a healthy foodie.
Yeah.
And
I bought the man grate when I went through a grilling phase. I bought the man grate and I grilled everything. And I lost a little bit of weight, but
he lost weight lifting that damn thing up onto the grill. He weighed about 400 pounds.
Yeah. Well, listen, David. Here's the thing. First off, don't tell yourself you have a food addiction over and over and over again.
Or if you do something, you know, proactive. Go to a 12-step program.
We all know what the answer is. When you feel like eating, do some push-ups. All right, one last call. Imagine if you felt like anything and you just did some push-ups. What a fucking – how great.
I'd eat right after.
Your life would change in 2 weeks.
Tim,
Colorado.
Hey, guys. Very long time. First time.
Thanks.
I was calling – you know, I hear Dr. Drew talk about replacement therapy for women, and I'm getting to an age where, you know, my physical hobbies are very important to me, but I'm 36, and I know there's a lot of guys my age who are doing testosterone replacement therapy.
Tim, at 36, it's not replacement. That's not replacement. At 56, it could be replacement, possibly. And when I'm talking about women with replacement therapy, I'm talking about women who have testosterone deficiency, therefore you are replacing. At 36, unless you have a medical condition that's causing you to have low testosterone, it's not replacement. It's steroid abuse is what it is at that point. Now, could it be safe? Could it be okay? I would die to take – I want to take testosterone supplements. I'm afraid to. Some data just came out, even in replacement therapy, appropriate medical replacement therapy, twice the risk of heart disease and heart attacks.
Really?
Yeah. So there's grave concern about it right now.
But
so,
you have when you're getting your dick sucked by a 23-year-old and you're 62.
And that's why it happened.
They don't read the rest of the article in the journal.
That's the Corolla
version. When you have the heart attack or you're being sucked off. Yeah. By one of your daughter's younger friends.
And they didn't ask, you know, was it worth it?
Would be worth it.
Right.
And yeah.
So all the things we're saying then.
Go out on your shield or in the pool room.
So hey, medically, no way I could recommend that at your age. No
all
way.
Right. Well, I could recommend my book, President Me, available for pre-order on Amazon. And us, Melrose Improv, Saturday, March 8th. Two big shows. Come on out. See how the fudge is packed. San Francisco is coming up in May. Oh, yeah. Forget about the sausage being made. Let's see that fudge pack.
Industrial or union fudge packers?
They got a pretty strong union. And we got some Mangria events. Outpost on Cahuenga Thursday. And I'll see you there at 9 o'clock. So, until next time. Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew, Chris Max Pata, Gary Halftime. Saying, mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.